Morning, everyone. I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to share, hopefully not for too long this morning, but on an important subject. So we'll see how we go. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your blessing and your mercy on us. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you empower us by your Spirit. And I just ask for your anointing this morning, that I might be able to share clearly what you've given me to say, and that it might be an encouragement and a blessing and Lord, life-giving, Father, to the saints and to those who are listening later on a recording. We just ask for your blessing this morning. Thank you that you are a great and an awesome God. And Lord, I just recognize the privilege of being able to share from your word. So I just ask for that quickening power to share what you would have me share, Father, and to have your guidance even as I speak. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share about the baptism in the Holy Spirit this morning. And in about 2012, I shared about the baptism in quite a lot of detail, more of a detailed talk than I'm going to give this morning. And I gave it at another local church as well. And someone came up to me afterwards. This was at the other church, and said, "This is a life message for you. This is something that you're going to be sharing about, you know, regularly." And I feel that I haven't necessarily been obedient to that word, because it's not something I've preached on as regularly as I should. So I feel that coming back to it at the moment is part of being faithful. And we had a word at the away day about foundations in the Holy Spirit, and just digging a foundation in the Holy Spirit. So I feel again that is another reason to share it at the moment. And I was trying to work out when I got baptized in the Spirit myself, and I'm not sure that I can pinpoint it. Some people can pinpoint it quite precisely. I was chatting with Toby. I hope he doesn't mind me saying, I haven't checked with him, but it's not particularly Toby, do you mind? He's put his thumbs up. Yeah. I was chatting with Toby earlier this week, and he said that for himself, after he got baptized in water, and I'm sure he'll tell you more about this if you don't know, he started to experience much more of the gifts of the Spirit, started hearing from God loads of testimonies of God speaking, giving him pictures and visions. And I think for a lot of people, that when they're baptized in water, at that point, you get an anointing. For me, I was baptized when I was 14, and I know that I was filled with the Spirit before then. It was a blessing to be in a church with lots of gifts of the Spirit moving. But I was thinking that one moment I can remember, 1987, Noel Richards' song, All Heaven Declares, came out. And I remember in the school playground, it must have been like the Sunday after we just heard the song. And I was just worshipping God on the playground. I must have been a bit weird. I don't know if I was singing out loud or whatever. But I just remember thinking, wow, God's amazing. And this is an incredible song. You know, the chorus, forever he will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship him alone. And I was just taken up really in the Spirit. And I think one of the things that isn't always emphasized when you get baptized in the Spirit is how you receive a real ease for worship and just a real encounter. When I shared before, I wrote this paper. This is just a front page of it, Baptism in the Holy Spirit, which I'm happy to send out to anyone who wants to read a bit more detail. But I've written down in it that this is some of the things that happen when you get baptized. The most common blessings you receive is a renewed vigor and excitement in personal prayer, new encounters with the Lord in worship, an increase of power and anointing in current spiritual giftings, as well as direction and breakthrough into new giftings, and increased help in sanctification and becoming godly in character. So if you want any of that, and you might be baptized in the Spirit already, but you might be a little bit dry, if you want some of that, if you want maybe new giftings or increased power in what you're already operating in, or if you feel, I just want to get more anointing in worship and just get caught up into worshiping God again, then are you thirsty this morning for the Holy Spirit? And I want to make a distinction. Obviously, you can get baptized in the Spirit. That can be a one-off, a kind of a one-time event. But then we can carry on being filled in the Spirit and keep on being filled. I must move that out of the way, otherwise I'll talk off the wrong notes. So yeah, are you thirsty for more of him? Let's just look at, just very briefly, Luke chapter 3. I'll just read this. John the Baptist talks about Jesus being baptized, Jesus baptizing in the Holy Spirit. In Luke 3, verse 16, John says, I baptize with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so we get this, this statement about Jesus, that he is the baptizer. He is the one who baptizes with the Spirit. And we get baptized in the Spirit to enable us to commune with Jesus, to know that presence of Jesus. What the Holy Spirit fills us with is the presence of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is our enabler. He is our comforter. He is the one who fills us with Jesus. Why did Jesus even leave the earth? Why didn't he stay on the earth? It was so that the Holy Spirit could come. And Jesus said, it's good for you that I go away, because you're actually going to get more of me by me going away. And then we only really learn about baptism in the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. All the epistles and the rest of the New Testament just assume that everyone's filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit. There's a lot to say about this, and I don't want to say anything. I don't want people to get confused about what baptism in the Spirit is. But if you don't think that you've had it, then I'm going to give some steps in a moment as to how to position yourself to receive the baptism in the Spirit. And I'm happy for this to start conversations off. But I would say it's great as well just to ask other Christians that you know, how did you get baptized in the Spirit? Tell me about an experience you had getting filled with the Spirit. And that's a way of us understanding how it happens, because it doesn't happen the same way with everyone. It happens in different ways, and that's fine. But what's important is that it happens. What's important is that you get that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't actually become a Christian without the Holy Spirit filling you. But we believe that there is a second opportunity. There's a second filling, what we call a baptism of the Spirit. And when we talk about Christians who are Spirit filled, we're talking about those who believe in the gifts of the Spirit being for today, and who love to move in the gifts of the Spirit, and who welcome the Holy Spirit to come and fill and to help us. But all Christians, hopefully, if they're proper born again Christians, will accept and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. They might not talk about it in the same language. They might talk about the Holy Spirit empowering them or leading them. But I'd encourage you all to be thirsty for more of God and be thirsty for more of the Spirit. So in Acts 1, it says, Jesus speaking to the disciples just before he goes up into heaven, he says, John truly baptized with water. This is Acts 1:5. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then in Acts 2, we get these key verses, which explains that the baptism of the Spirit is for us today. At the end of a barnstorming preach by Peter, just after he's been filled with the Spirit, verse 37, when they heard this, and this was Jews from all over Israel and beyond, they said, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that's water baptism, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So sometimes it's called baptism in the Spirit. Sometimes it's called the promise of the Father. We also talk about a refreshing. Later in Acts, it talks about times of refreshing coming from the Lord. These are all things that we need as Christians. If we're to be faithful to God, if we're to be obedient to him, and if we're to do what he's planned for us to do, then we need the filling of the Spirit. I don't know how, it's just worth thinking, are you feeling a bit dry today? Are you feeling thirsty for more of him? Are you operating out of the overflow of the Spirit, or are you feeling out, there's barely enough for myself? Where are you at this morning? I was looking, dipping into a book that Gavin and Anne Calver have written for Spring Harvest this year, which is, I think it's called Unleashed. And I was just curious to see what he said about baptism in the Spirit, because the whole book deals with Acts. And he said, we're not just into a mighty, smiley bless up, was a phrase that he used. And I think a lot of people think that because we're charismatics, all we're after, or we could describe ourselves as Pentecostals as a part of healing, all we're after is a great big fun time, a fun time where we just all hug each other and get slain in the Spirit and just anointed. But actually it has no impact on our lives. But that's not what the baptism of the Spirit is about. It's about being filled for a purpose and actually going on with our relationship with God, allowing him to have the dealings in his life, that in our life that we need to have. If we just keep going on, we're not going to be transformed into his likeness. This is why we need the baptism of the Spirit. And to come back to these verses that I've just quoted from 38 and 39, water baptism clearly, and then, and there's no necessarily, it's not necessarily after you get water baptized that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we definitely receive it. And verse 39, I don't think anyone's left out there. The promises to you and to your children. So those are clearly to the Jews. The Jews were invited to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But then it says to all who were afar off. Now, I think that's referring to the Gentiles, and we see that later on in the book of Acts. And then it says, as many as the Lord will call. So if you're feeling far off this morning, then the baptism of the Spirit's for you, the gift of the Holy Spirit's for you. If you know that God's called you, if you know that you've ever experienced God's calling on your life, then the baptism of the Spirit is for you. So you're not left out. Now, let's just think for a moment about the order in which these things happen. Let's have a quick look at a couple of other passages in Acts, and then I've got one more story about baptism in the Spirit and these steps to take. But in Acts, I'm trying to make that sound as if it's going to be short, but I'm not sure if it will be. In Acts 10, we get the Gentiles receiving the Spirit, and this is a very exciting passage. Again, Peter preaching to Cornelius' household. And Acts 10 from verse 44. So he's just preaching. He's giving it his all. He's sharing the truths of the gospel with the disciple, with Cornelius' household. And verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, so the Jews, who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So what we see there is that the Holy Spirit fell. They got baptized in the Spirit and they weren't water baptized. And then they got water baptized after. So it doesn't matter which way around it happens. And I think for a lot of children who are brought up in church and to receive Jesus at a young age, they might well get baptized in the Spirit before they're water baptized. And it doesn't matter. And from Acts, we can't derive any hard and fast rules because it happens the other way around too. But the other thing that's interesting here is the evidence. So how do you know that someone's been baptized in the Spirit? How can you tell that they've suddenly received something that they didn't have before, even if they're Christians? So we get two pieces of evidence here, verse 46. They spoke in tongues, just like the disciples did on Pentecost in Acts 3, and they magnified God. They were worshiping God. And just to say about tongues, that not everyone speaks with tongues. But you are quite likely to receive the gift of tongues if you get baptized in the Spirit. But don't get hung up on it. If you've not received the gift of tongues, doesn't mean to say that you haven't been baptized in the Spirit. But you can still ask for more. When we look at Paul's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, he doesn't major on tongues. He doesn't say, oh, tongues is a great gift. You must go for tongues. In fact, he says, not all speak in tongues. So we know that it's not necessarily going to come when you get baptized. And we've affiliated with Elim. And a lot of Pentecostals, or certainly used to, have this belief that you must speak in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues, then you're not baptized in the Spirit. And I don't think that's quite right. And in fact, we have to be careful with all the gifts of the Spirit, that they are not, that they don't kind of take over and actually kind of ironically kind of quench the Spirit somehow, because we can get carried away and it can become very fleshly and people can be shouting out in tongues and someone's trying to pray a really anointed prayer and they can't because you're in a prayer meeting or something and the tongues are too loud or something like that. I know I've been guilty of blabbering away in tongues sometimes when I shouldn't be. So it does say that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. With all the gifts of the Spirit, we should also have self-control. And I think the more of the Holy Spirit we get, the gentler and the more patient and the more meek we become. So I'd encourage, you know, the fruit of the Spirit are just as important as the gifts of the Spirit. But anyway, so there's the tongues, speaking in tongues there from that passage. And it's so important. If you have got that testimony that you suddenly just got, I don't know what the word is to say. I know some people don't like these words, but if you got blasted in the Spirit or got kind of slain in the Spirit or whatever, and you didn't know what was going on and you just got an experience of the Holy Spirit, I trust that after that, you then got some solid, sound teaching on what it is to move in the Spirit. And you studied the Bible and you learnt about these things, because it's so important to have character as well as the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to have a godly character. But let's look at one more passage in Acts, which happens the other way around, in Acts 19. I'm sure a lot of you are thinking of this passage. Verse 1, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who is to come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, water baptism. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So this is a fascinating little passage here, where I'd be inclined to think that these men were not actually full believers until Paul explains that they need to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. So even though it calls them disciples in verse 1, they're disciples of John or followers or open, you know, minus to plus. They were on the journey, that they were of faith. The Holy Spirit had been speaking to them, but they hadn't fully come through into salvation. This is a process, isn't it, of belief. But then that they receive water baptism before they receive the baptism of the Spirit, which is the other way around from what we've just seen in Acts 9. So there's no hard and fast rule about it, which I wanted to emphasize. And interesting here that again they speak with tongues and they prophesy. So that is what shows that they move in some of the gifts of the Spirit. All of us are different. And you might not necessarily show any outward sign when you receive the Spirit. But it's about trusting that God has promised in his word that we can receive the Holy Spirit, and then we will receive it. So I'll start to talk now about the steps to receive the Holy Spirit. How do we position ourselves to do this? So firstly, and just to emphasize that if I share this paper with you, the steps are in this paper as well, if you wanted to have these as a kind of a note form for this. Firstly, you must be trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. Don't trust in any effort of your own to get there. And we need to be assured that we're saved. And if you're not sure that you're saved, then obviously if you get baptism of the Holy Spirit, it will give you assurance. But there may be some other things that you need to understand. It may be that the Lord wants to show you some other truths before you get baptized in the Spirit. But feel free to get in touch with me if you're not sure that you're saved. Assurance is so important. Secondly, we need to repent from any known sin. If we're waiting on the Lord and we want to receive baptism, even if we're dry and we want to be filled again, we need to repent. We've got to walk in fellowship with God, as it says in 1 John 1:9. Is he just saviour of your life, or is he Lord as well? Is he in the driving seat of your life? Because if he's not in the driving seat of your life, you need to hand over the wheel to Jesus and say, Lord, you be Lord. I lay it down, God. And that's one of the important steps to receiving the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, it's quite common, it's quite normal to have been water baptized, as we've said, and that public acknowledgement that you're his. And it's quite often that those, as soon as you get water baptized, you receive a new empowerment from the Spirit. Fourthly, shooting through these, there are seven steps, by the way. Fourthly, we need to be obedient to God. It's not just about sacrifice. I've got written down here that we can often make sacrifices to God, and sometimes we sacrifice things God hasn't asked us to sacrifice because we're striving in our own effort, and that can make us resentful toward God or towards others. We think, oh, I'm doing all this stuff, God, and you're not coming back with anything to me. And God hasn't maybe called us to make that sacrifice. What we need to remember, as I said about in the first point, is that Jesus paid the price for us. He made the sacrifice that was needed. And as God said to Samuel and to Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what's required. It's our heart of obedience. What is in your heart today? How is your heart before God? Because that is what needs to be right and sweet and soft before him. There's no way we can add to our salvation by anything that we do. And baptism in the Holy Spirit is not about adding to our salvation. It's so not. It's just about receiving more of God. It's so exciting. Why wouldn't you want more of God? But we need to be surrendered to him on God's terms, not on our terms. And we need to recognize that God is completely other to us. We can't worship a God in our own image. And if that's what we're doing, then we probably won't receive the baptism in the Spirit. We've got to say, God, reveal yourself to me. Show me, Jesus. Show me who you are. And that is the pathway to receiving. Fifthly, we need to be thirsty. I've said that, and I won't elaborate on that. So the last two points. Sixthly, we need to ask. Sometimes that's the only step that's missing from having received. We don't realize that we can ask for it and that there is something to ask for. And that's where I think a lot of Christians who wouldn't describe themselves as spirit-filled, that's probably all that they need to do is just ask. Children are great at asking for things, aren't they? And so we need to be like children to enter into to enter into what he has for us. And I just want to share, I'd encourage you to read Matt's book on their adventures in the Spirit. But in chapter 6, he shares about how his three children received the Spirit. And I wanted to read you, just share one story from this. But all three are so good. Matt and Catherine have three kids, Ethan, Caleb and Summer. But I think I'll share how Ethan received the Spirit. So what he says is that from an early age, they made it normal to take their children to great meetings and meetings that weren't necessarily in their home church. And they said that growing up in the same church as your parents, however good it is, can be hard. And Matt says he knew that firsthand. So he says this has really helped with his children, and they'd make an adventure of it, usually involving a McDonald's drive-through. And they drove up to Dudley near Birmingham in 2008. And there was an altar call at the end of the meeting, and they all had their eyes closed. And Matt opened his eyes to see a dozen people making their way towards the front. And one of them was his son, Ethan. He was only six. So at 6 years of age, Ethan, that's not my Ethan, that's Matt's Ethan, at around 9 p.m. in the Midlands of all places, responded to the message of Christ. That night, he had seen people healed. He'd felt the presence of God in the hour and a half of heaven-like worship, and he wanted to give his life to Jesus. That night, he got the whole package. He chose Jesus, and without any special prayer or teaching, Jesus filled his life through the Holy Spirit, and he spoke in tongues. He was still Ethan, but more, because God was now in him. And so I just encourage you that just ask, you know, that you can be quite young or you can be old. I mean, we heard about David Suchet, who was 40 before he, in reading Romans 8, and that saved him. The Holy Spirit came in. So it doesn't matter how old or how young you are or how experienced you are in God. You can still just ask even this morning for the Holy Spirit. And the last point is just to ask in faith. And actually, I will say this as well. I haven't got this written down, but don't be afraid of looking like a bit of a fool, looking like a bit of an idiot. You have to step out. And I know this morning we're all on our own screens. We're all in our own homes. So actually, you probably won't make too much of a fool of yourself. But sometimes we have to step out in faith. And God blesses us if we do. And even if we mess up, it just can be a bit funny, to be honest. And I'd encourage you to listen to some of Roger Price's talks on Essentials for Growth in the Basic Bible Study or the Fellowship Life series. He talks about moving in the Spirit and he tells some very funny stories. Often when God shows up, there can be a lot of humor around as well. So I just want to pray before I hand back and before we go into breakouts. And I just want to give an opportunity for you to receive the Holy Spirit. So let's just be still for a moment and let's just quiet our hearts before God. Yeah, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the promise that you have made to us, that we can receive your Holy Spirit. Lord, you prophesy through Joel, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And we thank you, Lord, that we are so blessed that we are in that time period where your Holy Spirit is available for all of us to receive. And I want to pray for everyone now on the Zoom, everyone listening to this, Lord, who is asking for more of your Spirit, whether they've been baptized in the Spirit before, whether they're not sure, or whether they're thirsty and dry for a fresh filling. Lord, we just ask now for times of refreshing to come from the hand of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can ask like children. Lord, that we don't need to understand, but we know that you love us. We know that you're a good father and that you give good gifts to your children. And we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit now, however you choose to do it, Lord, on my brothers and sisters with us this morning, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask. Fill us again. Fill us anew. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your truth and understanding, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts this morning, Lord. Lord Jesus, pour water on him who is thirsty. Pour floods on the dry ground. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing even now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you. We bless you this morning, Lord God. I just want to ask, Lord, that if there are particular gifts, Lord, particular giftings, Lord, that are in the hearts of your people, Lord, that your people are longing for, Father, I just pray that you release those giftings now, Father. Lord, if there is a gift of tongues, Lord, just loose the tongues to speak, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can't hear what other people are saying, Lord. If they want to start speaking in tongues, Lord, they can speak in tongues. Father, we ask for miracles. We ask for word of wisdom. We ask for gifts of healing, Lord, gifts of administration, Father. We just ask for your Spirit in all your fullness, Lord, to come on your people now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you so much, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen.